With 4 weeks to go, the electoral phony war grinds on. But just to prove that miracles do happen, here's a politician being candid about how you really pay for tax cuts.
The real test of whether we're ready for government is not whether we can come up with exciting shadow budgets. It's going to be whether we have the grit and determination to impose discipline on government spending. It's going to be whether we can keep our nerve and say no, even in the teeth of hostility and protest. That is the responsible party we are, and that is the responsible party that I will lead.
Unfortunately, that's British Conservative leader David Cameron at his party conference in Birmingham last week, 12,000 miles away. His keynote speech is hardly groaning with detail of what that quote-unquote discipline would look like, but he's a profile in clarity and political courage compared to Helen Clark and John Key. Despite all the sound and fury around tax cuts over the last couple of weeks, nobody has come up with a convincing answer to a taxing question that's been bothering me, and was niggling before the sobering and possibly severely understated pre-election economic and fiscal update was released. How do you cut taxes, increase spending, and pretend with a straight face that there will be neither additional borrowing or service cuts required to cover the tab? Now, perhaps I'm wrong, and you can rearrange the deck chairs on the fiscal Titanic, call half of them pot plants for accounting purposes, weave lifeboats out of napkins, and convince the passengers that the iceberg will melt before you hit it. But nobody's making much of an effort to prove it to me. To be scrupulously fair, as I record this, Labour hasn't released any policy yet, except Nationals. But we're still being expected to take too much from both parties on trust. And nobody wants to intelligently debate the only thing the New Zealand government can control, the size and quality of government itself. Clark was right when she said this election is all about trust, just not in the way she thinks. I trust people who will confront inconvenient and unpopular realities, argue their case with courage and clarity, have the modesty to admit the limits of their knowledge in the face of complex, fast-changing circumstances. The global economy is providing graphic evidence of the havoc caused by putting unquestioning trust in people who never deserved it. The most taxing question of all this week is why Clark and Cullen, Key and English, don't seem to have learned a damn thing.